it, and then that's why Jesus had to come, and he died for us, and now that relationship's restored, and now through him we can have that, bridge that gap to God and have that relationship that we couldn't otherwise, because again, we're imperfect, and we can't get across that.
So that's the
mistake
that's,
and sin that's
that is the good news, and I appreciate you knowing that, but how do I apply that to my life? Like if someone said, how do I find eternal life? How do I apply that?
So I think it's like, it's steps, right? Because first you have to hear the gospel, then you have to believe it.
Yep.
And after you believe
Thanks for your service, officer.
Thank you, guys.
And it's like, all right, how in my life do I follow Jesus better every day? How do I find other people? I like fellowship, and we together follow Jesus. And then that's kind of like the church coming together and trying to, you know, do like repent. Like, yeah, you guys say that a lot. So you want to repent from your sins and do a complete 180 every day. I mean, you're going to stumble some days. Like, nobody's perfect, but just continually being obedient. I guess obedience is like the best word I would use. Every day being obedient.
Yeah.
And then just chasing after his will. Like praying to God every day. That's part of it. Every day, just keeping that relationship by praying.
I mean, you hit on a couple of the main points there. I'll run through the biblical gospel with you just to make sure you got it correct. So faith, you got that right. Faith in Jesus Christ and what he did on the stake, his death, burial, resurrection for the forgiveness of sin, his shed blood, which is the only way we can inherit eternal life. We in no way by our own works could inherit eternal life. Only through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Do we have that open to us. So we must repent. Jesus' first ministry words, you said, we say it a lot. Well, Jesus' first ministry words were repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. We have to repent of all of our man-made traditions, of worldliness, of our how we dressed, how we talked, how we acted, how we associated. We have to lose our life to find it in Christ. That's where a lot of the churches fall short. That's why we stand out against churches, and that's why we tell people you have to come out of those systems, because they're leading you astray into false man-made traditions. Once you're willing to do that, to lose your life for Christ, become a fool for Christ, lose everything you hold on to in this world, the Lord will see that. He'll see a willing vessel. Acts 5 says he gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey him. You'll be born from above. You'll be born again by the Holy Spirit of God. And then the fruit that you're born again, the fruit that God knows you and you know God, holiness and obedience to the Word of God, to the Scriptures. Your life will be sanctified. You'll be set apart for God.
You'll
be out of the world. Yeah. You'll be set apart. And you have to endure in that until the end. It's not locked up. It's not secure. Every day is a fight to get into the kingdom of God. You got to put down your flesh.
That's true too. Because a lot of you kind of talk about like a church in modern day America is like, oh, I'm saved. Now I can just go do my life. I pray to Jesus and I believe in Jesus, but then I just do whatever I want and follow my desires.
Yeah, that's like an easy believe gospel. Like,
And
the Bible's not full of an easy believe gospel. Yeah, Jesus said in Luke 13, strive to enter. That word strive, you know what it means?
Like every day, just constantly
fight. You got to fight. Yeah, Paul says, "Work out your salvation with fear and trembling." So, where are you at in that? Where do you think?
As far as fighting.
Yeah, where do you think in that gospel? Where are you? You got faith.
Yeah.
Have you fully repented of all your sin? Meaning, are you striving against leaving all sin, including worldliness?
Yeah.
How about false religion? Are you linked to the church systems?
I'm in a community, church community.
What's the name of the church?
Coastal Community Church.
Okay, so it's like a non-denom.
Yeah.
Have you ever tested it to the scriptures completely?
Yeah. I mean,
have they ever taught you how to dress your temple biblically? So they don't teach you that. Do you know what God did in the Bible?
Where in the Bible?
Genesis 3.
Yep.
Okay.
That's before Torah law, and that's when God ordained marriage and dominion. That's so true. It's for today. Yeah. He shed blood and put us in tunic like garments. He told us not to adorn our bodies. And it was always the same, 1 Peter 3.
He healed an animal and gave us like its skin.
That's shed blood, right?
Shed blood,
yeah. Yeah, shed blood. That's the archetype of Jesus. But then he told us not to adorn our bodies in 1 Peter 3. And a lot of these churches, not a lot of them, all of them, like your church, I'm pretty confident, they do Christmas, Easter, and Good Friday. These are pagan Roman Catholic holidays handed down by the Roman Catholics.
So
your church does that sin.
Makes them pagan.
You saw my wife. Do they teach women to cover their heads and dress biblically and come out of the world?
But that's, we have freedom in Christ that we don't have to do some of these laws.
Have freedom in Christ to sin. That's not the gospel you agreed with.
It's definitely not justification of sin. Like, I'm not going to lust after women, and I'm not going to...
1 Corinthians 11 says a woman should cover her head.
Okay, well, we have that disagreement.
Huh?
But we have that disagreement then.
Well, but do you disagree with God's word?
Where says that again? Say it again.
1 Corinthians 11.
Amen. 1 Corinthians, tell me where...
Take a gospel, ma'am.
Let's look it up then.
Test yourself.
I do.
Test yourself. Come out of the world. Follow Jesus, not the culture or the churches. You know, do you know for up until about 150 years ago, all of the churches, even the denominational churches, all taught women to cover their heads. And guess what happened? Feminism rose up. And they caved so the women could take their head.
Yeah, times change, yeah.
But the word of God doesn't change. 1 Corinthians 11.
11? Okay.
Yeah, it's in the whole first 16 verses. Men are supposed to have their heads uncovered when they talk about God. Did you know that? Have they taught you that in your church?
Mm.
Yeah, that's another part of the Bible, right there in 1 Corinthians 11. Have they taught you about tattoos?
Yeah. I got these before.
I know, but shouldn't you cover them for the glory of God if they're sinful? You can buy those arm skins.
If I'm representing Christ, like...
Huh?
And if this is... if somebody has tattoos and they don't know Jesus, and this makes them more approachable to me, where I share the gospel...
Should I smoke to get people that smoke to come to Jesus? Would I do that, brother?
No. That sounds like pragmatism.
What's pragmatism,
smoking,
brother?
Smoking,
tell me.
Smoking or drinking would be... I would feel like...
This is sin. Adorning your body.
One sin will put you out of the kingdom of God. If you hold on to it.
Yeah. See, we're going to hold you to the gospel you just agreed to. And your church, coastal community... keeps a bunch of sin. Feminism, pagan holidays, worldliness. They're not teaching you, young man, how to come out of the world. We want to teach you better.
That's good. Let's take this one at a time. Where's a... I'm trying to like...
You don't have to go out here in the streets. You go to my teaching blog. I got articles on all this stuff. Pagan holidays, Christmas, head coverings, how men should dress. But see, those churches are not teaching you to come out. What are you doing here today?
But if Christmas and Easter, if they're worshiping what God did for us, but like...
Did God tell you to do it?
There's some type. Well, that's because.
Did God tell you to do it?
I guess
who do you
not.
Obey, God
I guess
or man?
Christmas and Easter isn't in the Bible, but.
Okay, who told you to do it, God or man?
Society.
That's a man.
Yeah.
So you're obeying men, not God.
Yeah.
Aren't we supposed to obey God? You agreed the gospel said obey God. My brother had to come out of that. I had to come out of that.
So what about? Okay.
Are you willing
about,
to lose
like,
your life?
What about like worship music? There's a lot of bad worship music today.
Oh, I'll let brother cover that. You want to cover contemporary worship music for him?
You got a lot of contemporary music that like is definitely not. I'm not going to listen to it because like
why?
When it's some of the big like
Bethel, what?
Because it focuses like on self. So like Bethel, they sing about I, and it's not really focused on God. So I dig that.
So but you judge it because their lyrics are wrong. We would agree.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what about my brother will tell you why contemporary Christian music is wrong?
So Romans 8:8 says no man can please God in the flesh. And in Leviticus 10, if you've read Leviticus 10, I believe it's like
so
1
I can't please
4.
God in the way I dress either because that's in the flesh.
Oh, yes, you can. Because that's he obeyed you. He commanded you to do it. And the Bible says it brings him great joy when his children obey. So we're telling you about what you should obey. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, Leviticus 10. It talks about two priests that brought strange fire to the Lord, an offering that the Lord did not command them to bring. And what did he do to them? Did he accept it? No, he burned them up.
Leviticus.
Charcoal briquettes.
Take them to Acts 5.
Acts 5, yeah, Ananias and Sapphira. They committed one sin before God. They lied to the Holy Ghost.
What happened to them, do you know?
They were dropped dead.
After the grace of God.
After Jesus rose again.
Yeah, we're reading that in our community group that our church does.
So you just said that was Old Testament. Yeah. Wrath is still in the New Testament too, young man.
So when it comes to worship, does God want us to worship him in spirit and in truth? John 4:24.
Yeah.
Is worship, any so-called worship outside of the truth of God, worship of God, if he wants to be worshiped in spirit and in truth, what is the truth of God?
Yeah. It becomes an offering of man, not an offering to God. Yeah.
So if man tries to add to the worship of God and says, well, God will accept this just because everyone's going along with it, everyone's doing it.
Yeah,
does God accept it?
I don't agree with that. I don't agree because everyone's doing it. I feel like...
But you are doing it.
Like what?
God took away... Wait, he'll tell you. God took away...
I would say most people aren't doing...
God took away instrumental music because it's fleshly.
Yeah.
As in the Old Testament. Torah law was fleshly. Now guess who the instrument is?
Yeah, we became the instrument. We became the temple of the Holy Ghost. So we worship God with our lips. We worship God with our voices. We don't worship God by banging on drums, by strumming guitars, getting all fleshly in the music. Because you see it in the churches.
Yeah,
you see it
like right there in the center. It's pretty well.
You see it. Yeah, I mean, when the music stops, people...
It's not of God.
It's very emotional.
It's emotion. And we worship God in spirit, not emotion, young man. Coastal Community Church does that emotional worship. So we just, in about 5 minutes, we just detailed about five or six sins they have. And if you go and sing and pray with them, what does that mean, brother?
You're united to them.
Yeah.
Like, lay a hand suddenly on no man, lest you be partakers of them with their sins. So you're praying with them, you're spending time with them, you're uniting to them.
But I know nothing else, right? Like, if I just got back to Florida 2 months ago, and if I know no other believers, like, I need a group of believers to go to, and is that not better than...
You want
like,
to go to sinful believers?
But to me, it's either like, oh, I'm going to stay at my house, or I'm going to go try to find a community.
So wait, let's discern that. Stay in your house alone with the Holy Spirit and the whole truth of God that glorifies God. Where does the Bible say you need... Where does the Bible say you need community? Hold on. Rather stay in your house alone with the Holy Spirit and be in all truth and holiness, which God commands, or go for your flesh to be with people that live in sin. Well, which one would God have you do?
If I'm sitting alone in my house, I'm going to be distracted and I'm going to get pulled into...
What are you going to be distracted by? Do you have a TV?
Cell phones, TVs, yeah.
Throw your TV out. That's sinful.
All right.
Now you're not distracted. Jesus said, pluck out, rip out, cut out, whatever distracts you. See, Noah,
so
good thing.
Monastic life.
Good. Well, monastic life. Are we living monastic? How did we meet you?
Well, you heard my TV and my phone.
What do you need entertainment for? That's fleshly. What do you watch? Sports?
Work.
Are you watching NFL?
I don't know.
That's carnal. Movies, carnal. Politics, carnal.
Don't
what's
watch,
not carnal in the media?
Those things.
So what's good on TV?
History. I watch history. Right?
Okay. Why? You should be in the Word of God. There's so much you don't know.
Yeah. I mean,
redeem the time.
So much I'm never going to know.
But redeem the time. Don't you want to know God's Word?
Yeah.
And I'll just add to... I'll just add to having no community. Did Noah have a community?
Yeah. Other than
family.
His family?
Yeah, his family.
But he was called righteous before God.
Yeah.
I'm going to say I don't know enough about those verses to say I'm sure there were other...
He was perfect before God. He didn't compromise. Guess what? You just met some true saints. You want community? We'll Bible study with you. We'll fellowship with you.
You call yourself saints? Is that...
Of course. We're followers of Christ. We don't have a denomination. We don't need a building. The building is man's invention. That guy that stands in that box on Sunday is a man's invention.
My pastor says every day that people are the church.
The true saints, not those people in that building. Did you know that building system God did away with? You know, we're the temple today. That instrumental music God did away with from the Old Testament. All of these things that they're doing today are unbiblical, and if you're partaking with them, you're in sin. So what we would encourage you to do, take a break from man-made religion, throw your television out, get in the scriptures.
I'll get in the scripture, I'll verify what you guys are saying. I'm going to take it with a grain. I'll take everything you're saying, I'll look at it.
But here's what you're going to do, ready? Tomorrow Sunday, if you go to that church, they're going to be tainting you. Get out of the church system.
Sunday. What do you guys do on Sunday?
We worship God every day. We'll be standing outside a religious church tomorrow, preaching the gospel truth, calling men like you out.
Yep. Amen.
We don't go and unite there. You know, worship is not going to that Sunday hour service. Sunday's not even Lord's Day. Did you know that?
Oh, yeah.
That's what they all believe it is. They all believe it's the Lord's Day. You got to be in church on Sunday. Yeah, you just said it. Yeah. No, it's not true. You worship God every day. That's my wife. Where's my wife?
We have full-time jobs.
Where's my wife? That's my wife every day.
I don't do Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday because I work.
Okay. But you should be worshiping God Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Yeah.
And so you don't need that Sunday ritual religious system. That's not worship, young man.
So, okay, Jesus had his disciples. He had his disciples at a smaller group too, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they lived life together like one-on-one. That's like one-on-one disciples.
Yeah, they were traveling together like we do, me and my brother.
And then you have smaller groups outside of that, and you have like bigger groups, a bigger community.
And they were godly, holy saints that kept the oracles of God. They didn't do worldly, pagan things like coastal community. See, you're compromised, and we love you. You got to come out of that. One sin's going to put you out of the kingdom of God. One sin's going to put you out of the kingdom of God. Guess what?
Sin,
a lot of pressure on you now.
I've already done a lot of sin. We've all done a lot of sin.
But if you keep doing them, there's no covering for you. Hebrews 10:26. If we live in willful sin, there's no sacrifice for your sin.
I'll go to the Word, and I'll pray to God about this.
Yeah.
You guys are also human, too. So just like I shouldn't take Coastal Community's word for it, like I'm going to have to pray to God.
But here's what I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Take a break from them and go in the scriptures, and God will confirm it, and then you should come, and you should come to us, and we'll say, we'll show you in the scriptures, because do you know what, any other godly people that are telling you this truth? Probably not. Otherwise, you wouldn't be going to Coastal Church. So God just hooked you up with some godly people that are telling you the truth. And we don't want your money. I'm retired. He works and supports himself. Coastal Church, they take your money.
I've never given them any money.
How do you think they pay for that building, young man? Guys with money are paying for it.
Some of the people have been there.
How do you think a pastor is supposed to have a salary? No. It's not a paid position.
Yeah.
All right. Well, see, they've turned it into Jesus hated hirelings. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus hates Coastal Community Church. You know why? Because they keep sin.
Jesus loves.
No. Hey, what does Psalm 5:5 say?
I feel like a lot of things you were preaching is hate.
What does Psalm 5:5 say? Look it up on your phone. Look up Psalm 5:5. Do that. Look it up. Psalm 5:5.
Got them Psalms ready.
Go to the Old Testament. It's still truth.
You say we hate, but we hate sin, false ways. We're telling you all of the false ways.
Psalm 5:5. Read it for us.
The boastful cannot stand in your sight. You hate all evildoers.
Ooh, God's hateful. But he hates evildoers. Go read Psalm 11:5. We love you. We're just telling you the truth. It's not hateful to tell you the truth, to call you out of sin. It's going to destroy your soul. Psalm 11:5.
But like, so
wait, read that.
Like
read Psalm 11:5. Psalm 11:5.
Lord examines righteous, but he hates the wicked and those who love violence.
Wow, he hates the wicked. That means sinful people. Yeah. So if they keep going on in their sin, God hates them. Do you know how you get the love of God versus the wrath of God? So do you see hate in the Bible? God hates sin. God hates unrighteousness. John 9 says, you know what it says? God doesn't hear the prayers of sinners. Go read John 9. I think it's 31. 32. Yeah. God doesn't hear the prayers of sinners. You got to be righteous and holy. You got to be cleansed in his blood. But if you are, you would be loving this truth rather than saying, I don't know. You'd say, I got to go. Yeah, I just read it to you. You said we're hateful, but we're preaching to you what the word of God says, young man.
So I would say this. If you claim to be born again by the Holy Spirit of God, the creator of the universe's spirit is inside of you.
Amen.
What sin can't he help you leave?
Yeah. Is there anyone?
You can leave all sin. The Lord calls us to leave all sin.
What can't you overcome? Oh, I want a community of people. You don't need that. They're sinful. Come, stand alone. I'll introduce you to other people.
Stand alone, though. Jesus doesn't teach us to go alone. He teaches us to go out. And whenever the disciples went out, they went out.
With other godly saints.
You're claiming
Coastal Church is a goat farm. It's not the sheep of God. We just told you a bunch of their sin. I'm just telling you the truth because I love you. John the Baptist spoke some hard things. I'm speaking hard things to you because I love your soul. If I speak cookies and candy to you, I should go to Coastal Church because that's what they probably do. Coffee bars, cookies, programs. Well, look them up. What town are they in?
Venice?
Coastal? What's it called?
It's just Coastal Community
Church. Coastal Community Church. Is it a big church?
No.
I mean, how many people? Roughly.
Like,
100?
We have community groups, which are like maybe groups of 10.
Yeah, okay. It doesn't matter what size. I'm just curious. Yeah. I don't know if it's a mega church. But here's the thing. We're telling you the truth, and we're calling you out of the world. Any gospel that doesn't call you out of the world, like Coastal Church's gospel, is not the biblical gospel.
Yeah, they teach us to live apart from the world.
But you're still of the world. You admitted you are.
There's only so much you get away from the world.
Really?
Can you
get away from dressing like the world? We do.
Yeah, I guess I could.
Can you get away from the media, TV? We did. Can you get away from the false religion of the world, like the false churches like Coastal? We did. What can't you get away from?
I mean, I'm not like...
The life of a Christian is hard.
It is, yeah. It is hard.
You got to lose your life.
I've lost a lot of my friends. Like,
you got to lose them. You got to lose that false church system, too. Do you love God more than anything?
I absolutely do.
Then you should have no problem getting rid of Coastal Community and cling to God's word.
Like, since I've been there, I've been meeting people, I've been sharing the gospel, I've been working with youth ministry, teaching the children about youth.
But if you're not biblical, what are you going to teach them?
I've been coming up with studies, biblical studies.
Paul says a little bit of leaven affects the whole lump. So if there's sin in there and you unite to it, it doesn't matter what good you're doing. It doesn't matter what good you're doing.
It cleanses me of the sin that I do have.
What's that?
That's the whole point of Jesus. It cleanses me of the sin that I do have.
But if you got to repent and stop the sins. Otherwise, you don't get cleansing.
I've repented from like the big sins of my life, and it's like every day. Just like
what about worldliness?
Every day you have to be obedient.
What about worldliness? False religion. Did you know?
So the worldliness to you is like how I dress, what media I watch. It's not. The actual core sin is like lying. It's like
core sins. You don't think it's sinful if a woman walks around showing her body or butt and everything off? You don't think it's sinful if you don't dress the way God told you to dress?
Yeah, you can dress like modestly and not be
Modest. That's not a Bible word. Long and flowing clothing. Okay. So let's go back. Women's heads.
This is really like somebody walking down the street here in a bikini.
Your head is still covered. You're using your own standard, not God's standard. Your head's still covered talking about things of God. That's a shame before God.
I'm going to look
at that later. Yeah. So I'm talking about that. But here's the thing. Paul said a little bit of leaven affects the whole loaf. Did you know that in Mark 7, Jesus said if you keep man-made traditions, that's Coastal Church, you worship God in vain. Go look at that. Read that. Mark 7, 6 through 9. Look it up. Read it for us. Mark 7, 6 through 9. We're going right to the Word of God here. We're Bible studying right out in the streets here at this art festival.
Someone who brought their Bible.
Yeah. Mark 7, 6 through 9. Read that. You're keeping man-made traditions. What does Jesus say? Mark 7, 6 through 9. Read it. You read King James Version?
No.
What do you read?
I go back and forth between the Christian Standard Bible and the NIV.
Yeah, and NIV? Yeah. NIV is a train wreck.
And you believe like King James Version only...
No. Okay. We test it to the Greek and Hebrew.
Okay.
No, we test it to the Greek and Hebrew, but it's far better NIV. Yeah. NIV is a train wreck. So read Mark 7, 6 through 9.
That's not taking me. I don't know if I got the connection right now.
Mark 7, 6 through 9. Read it.
He answered them, Isaiah prophesies correctly about your hypocrites, as it is written, This people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain, teaching as doctrine human commands.
Wow. Coastal Church is doing doctrines of men. Jesus says you worship him in vain. You can't take that away. You can't unhear the word of God. What are you going to do about that?
I'm going to pray about
it. You can't be united to them.
Yeah, I'm going
to
get his word,
You can't be of the world and of Christ, can you, brother?
No. Revelation 22:15 says, if you love or make one lie, you won't enter into the kingdom of God.
One lie.
You have to repent.
So if you're a believer, you have to repent. Yeah, but...
if you keep practicing it, you haven't repented.
Well, you're never going to... you're never going to never lie again in your life.
A lie is anything outside of the truth. The
Why do you never have to not lie? What if you say, Lord, help me never to lie? You don't have to lie.
Because I'm human and I get angry.
You don't think you're in control of your life via the Holy Spirit?
Lie. I'm never going to not lie ever again.
So the Holy Spirit can't keep you from lying again.
Maybe my faith isn't strong enough then?
There you go. We're uncovering something. We love you. You got to go much deeper. You're weighing to the sin side rather than the spirit side. That's what you do when you hang around with sinful people at Coastal Church rather than godly people to help you fly high above in God's righteousness. You're going to come to the level of people that you hang around with. These people are down here in their righteousness. Come up here. We're God's people.
Righteousness,
goodness, and truth. That's what we want for you. Take a break from that churchianity system. Tell your friends, I'm going in the Word. I got to test everything. And study the Scriptures, and we're here to help you.
I'm going to test you guys. I'm going to focus on God and read His Word and...
yeah. But see, here's the thing. A lot of people say, I'm going to pray about it. That's a dangerous thing to say, I'm just going to pray about it. Read it, ask God what it says, then act to obey it. If you just pray about it and never obey it, the wrath of God's upon you. Because God doesn't tell you to pray about things. He tells you to what, brother?
Tells you to obey it.
Obey it.
What is prayer to you? What is the purpose of prayer?
What's that?
What is the purpose of prayer?
What is the perfect prayer? Well, Jesus gave us...
what does God say? The purpose. What does God say the purpose of prayer is?
Oh, purpose of prayer. Yeah, I'm sorry. Of prayer. I thought you said perfect. Yeah. The purpose of prayer is communication with God and to make our supplication, which means our needs before Him. So the answer to prayer is go before God with thanksgiving first. That's the foundation. Then supplicate, which means tell Him what you need. He already knows what you need, but He wants you to come to Him. You know why? Yeah. Why do you think God wants you to do that?
So you have that relationship.
Well, I wouldn't call it relationship. You have the practice and the covenant to going to Him in the name of Jesus. It's the only name under heaven by which men are saved. And then God says, come to me, come to me, come to me, come to me. And when you draw near to Him, He'll draw near to you, James says. So go to God. That's the purpose of prayer. But when you read something and you say, oh, that's what it says, I'm worshiping God in man-made religion, no amount of prayer is going to change that scripture. You're worshiping God doing man-made religion, which is the Coastal Church. No amount of prayer is going to change that, young man. If you say, I'm lusted for women, help me, no amount of prayer is going to stop until you stop turning away from it.
I see my friends a lot. I'm like, oh, I'm going to pray for me with this thing I'm struggling with.
No,
like,
just do it.
You're just
do it.
You're still doing it, though.
Yeah, and we're here to help you, man. You know what you need? You need daily edification with godly men to help you come up to the standard of God. And that's, we're right here. We'll Bible study with you. We'll text with you. We'll meet with you on video. We travel all over the country. We know disciples all over. That's what we do. We don't want your money. We don't have a building to support. I don't take a salary. Neither does my brother. He works to support himself. I'm retired. I use my own money. That's what we do. That's the true body of Christ. These places are not the true body of Christ. They have some truth, They're building you a community. Kids programs. They teach the kids to be silly and goofy. Yeah. Yeah.
No.
We're going to look them up.
No, we pull them out. They don't.
Playing games. Foolishness.
That we have discussed.
Most of the culture is watching sports and politics and entertainment. Most of the churches, sports and politics and entertainment. The women are wearing jewelry and makeup, and they dress the young. Do the young girls dress in a manner that you got to look down because you might lust?
No.
Not there, huh?
No.
We're gonna look them up.
We only have like old people in our church too.
You only have like what?
We only have like elderly people in our church too. So it's not even like people.
Okay, whatever. I don't know what it is, but my point is, if they haven't taught you complete holiness from how you talk, act, dress, live, who you associate with, coming out of the world, it's not the true gospel, young man. The gospel transforms everything about you.
Yeah.
Jesus said to the rich man, the rich young ruler, he said, how do I inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, keep the commands. And he said, I've done that. And Jesus, being God, knew he did it. And then what did Jesus say, brother?
Jesus loved him and said, one thing you lack.
One thing.
What was it?
Go and sell that you have because his money was an idol. Come and follow me. And he couldn't do it.
So here's what you have to decide. Money's not evil. But here's what you have to decide. What do you love more than God that you won't put down because it's sin to follow him? Is it fellowship idolatry at the church? Is it your pride and vanity? Is it you love something that you watch on the internet? Is it whatever you're addicted to? What do you do for a living?
I have two jobs right now.
Huh?
Two jobs right now. I work in IT, information technology, and I also am an instructor of scuba diving.
Of what?
Scuba diving instructor.
Okay, scuba diving. Okay, let's take that on. Scuba diving. So, is scuba diving have any practical purpose for the kingdom of God?
It lets me live and not live on the streets and feed myself.
Okay, is there other ways you can make money that would be more God-honoring and would be worthy?
Some other ways.
I mean, because what you're doing is training people to be idle in an idle thing. That's not really a good and godly thing. That's like a hobby. So would you be willing to give up scuba diving for Christ?
The passion of scuba diving with me is...
Past some scuba divers. What an amazing thing.
Really?
When we walked down from here and we said, hey, let's go take a walk down this road, and we were walking there, there's a bunch of guys standing there naked this morning after lunch.
I didn't see them. You saw the guys standing there naked.
Right in the they just got out of their wetsuits. These guys are standing there naked, means no shirt on, young man. That's naked.
I wear a swimsuit.
Okay, but I'm sure your swimsuit is nakedness too if it shows off your body. My point is, would you be willing to give up scuba diving to go preach the gospel to people rather than spend your time doing that?
Yeah.
There you go.
To me, it's peaceful and it's connection with God because it's quiet, right?
God doesn't want you to connect with God that way. God wants you to connect with him in the word and spirit and truth and preaching, living.
So like living. Maybe on nature, if I go on a hike and look at mountains, and it's not connected
sure. You could do that once in a while, but to do that as your love rather than serving God, you can tell that you're already... Can you tell he's kind of defending it?
He's defending it.
You guys are like really critical about like, well, these professions are not godly. It's like,
well, yeah, if they're fleshly, they're not of God.
Technology, I work on computers. Is that too?
Okay, I was going to talk to you about that.
Yeah.
It depends. We had a brother that was into IT. He had to leave it. Do you know why he left it?
Well, it probably depends who he worked for.
Huh?
It probably depends who he's working for.
And it was an idol to him. He loved it so much. It was taking him away from his focus on the Lord. And he said, I got to get rid of my hobby. Yeah. He used to be a graphic designer, studied that. He loved that so much. I used to be a commercial artist.
Yeah.
I had to give it up. He had to give it up because our focus was taken off the Lord. So whatever you love more than God has to go. And whatever is idle and ready, Philippians 4:8. Whatever is good, pure, true, worthy, noble. Scuba diving doesn't pass that test. It's an idle, vain practice. You think there's going to be scuba diving in heaven? Why would you want to waste
There's going to be a lot of things that we have. Marriage isn't going to be in heaven.
Did God ordain marriage?
Yeah.
Did he ordain scuba diving?
No,
there you go.
We didn't have that.
There you go.
Back then,
he didn't ordain it, young man. Whatever God ordained, we should be practicing. Whatever God didn't ordain, we got to be careful what we do.
Okay.
Like I drive a van. God didn't ordain the van, but I drive it to see and meet you. But I don't drive it around on a racetrack to make money.
I meet people all the time. I go on boats. I go on boats. People. I share the gospel with them, and they're stuck on a boat, so now they got to listen to me.
Yeah,
so
but that's called pragmatism.
Pragmatism.
And what is that?
Can it fit my own mold?
Yeah, you're basically taking worldly things and saying, well, I can use evil things for the glory of God.
Yeah.
God wants you to...
Evil is sin. And idle things outside of the kingdom of God that are your passion, not God's.
So much idle that it pulls me away from God.
Yeah, it is. It will pull you away from God. You know why? Christ shed his blood for you. Did you know if you really are born again, do you know he owns you?
Yeah.
Do you know your time is his?
Time and money,
your temple is his?
Yeah.
He didn't tell you to scuba dive. You did. You're doing what you want to do, not what God called you to do. You see these guys playing football and kneeling and praying in the end zone? You think God called them to do that? That's a mockery. That's a mockery. That's violence, pride, vanity, covetousness to win. That is not a father. If you think that's of the Father God.
And I'm not going to judge them, right?
We're supposed to judge. Doesn't the Bible tell us to judge other believers? How do you know what's...
Other believers, but you don't know...
They're claiming to be believers.
Unless you live life one-on-one with them in discipleship.
They're claiming Jesus.
Brother,
if somebody claims Jesus, does that make him a believer? Yeah, right? I mean, he's saying we judge these football players that claim Jesus, and we're judging them for their sin. If they claim him, aren't they claiming to be believers?
Yeah, they're claiming to be believers.
Yeah.
So we judge them. Matthew 7 says judge.
Yeah.
Matthew 18 says judge. 1 Timothy 5 says judge. 2 Thessalonians 3 says judge. 1 Corinthians 5, 1 Timothy 5 says publicly expose sin.
People say a lot of... Unless I have community with this person, like one-on-one discipleship, and I can actually, like, see their life...
We can see their fruit.
Can you, though? You only see what is on TV.
Jesus said you know a tree by its fruit. We don't know men's hearts. God does, but we know their fruit.
There's no way the snippet that you see on... You don't see their whole lives, so you can't really see...
Yeah, every one of them I've ever looked into, they're worldly, they're carnal, they're compromised, they're not biblical, they don't preach the gospel. Because you know I can tell? If they preach a biblical gospel, they wouldn't be in the NFL. They'd come out of the world. See, God's word has every answer, young man. That's what I want for you.
All right, yeah.
And you're being compromised in that goat farm. I'll just tell you the truth. You need holy people to sharpen yourself against. The Bible says man's friend sharpens each other and our countenance sharpens each other. You're not being sharpened by godly people. You're being sharpened by, ready? You've been really patient. Ready?
Yeah.
Biblical Christianity is what we practice.
Yeah.
You're practicing cultural Christianity. Tell them the difference, brother.
Cultural Christianity, it changes with the culture and it forms to what people want it to be. When the Word of God is unchanging, we should be conforming to the Word of God. It says in the Scriptures, we're conformed to the image of His Son.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus Christ is the truth. He's also the Word. So we're conformed into the image of Christ. We're not conformed to the world.
Yeah. Amen. Well said, brother. The culture and the churches have joined. Jesus said, my people have nothing to do with the culture. We're in it. Look at us.
Yeah.
We're here. We're not part of this. We're standing against it. You're here, I assume, partaking in it.
Walking around, yeah.
Yeah. So, walk around, be careful what you look at, why you're here, idle time. But if you were a worker of God, and you were biblical, if you were a worker of God, are you kidding me? I've had to look down plenty of times when women walk around the way they dress. You don't?
I wasn't even thinking about that, because I was just thinking about the art. Like, I don't even think.
You got to guard your eyes, young man.
Well, I don't even, like, think about...
That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
But when you put yourself out in the world, why would you, unless it's for the gospel? It's idle time, is it not, brother? Would you as a young man just go walk around the world if it wasn't for the gospel?
That's really dangerous because I struggled a lot with a lot of things without my eyes wandering and whatnot. So if you spend a lot of time wandering around doing nothing in the world, it opens up a lot of doors.
No, I get that. That's why.
The Bible says set nothing vile before your eyes.
Yeah, that's why I can't be idle in myself. That's why I had to find this community. I mean, I didn't meet you guys. I didn't meet you guys when I first got to Florida.
But you can turn from that now and say, okay, that church is sinful. I want righteousness, goodness, and truth and holiness. And as soon as you find sin in something, you need to repel from it, repent of it, turn away from it. Because the pastors, hey, how long has that church been a church and that pastor been a Christian for probably decades and decades? He doesn't have the truth I just told you about in 5 minutes. What's wrong with that?
My brother would be happy to talk to you if you have any questions.
What's wrong with that? He's not discerning. He's worldly. He's compromised, all right? So we love you. Go deep. Email us. We'd love to help you in the truth, man. What's your first name?
Adam.
Adam. I'm Tupos.
Tupos?
Tupos. I love you, man. I
want you. Or do?
Tupos. It means example in the Greek. My wife gave me that name. His name is Akuo. You know what it means?
He told me, but I forgot.
He's a hearer.
Here.
My wife's name is Amen. It means faithful. Do you know why we took new names? Two reasons.
Changed,
There's nothing mystical about it. Nobody has to do it, but we decided to do it. One, we were worldly, wicked people. We wanted, I was James, he was Colin, she was Debbie. We wanted those lives gone. We were worldly, wicked, carnal people. And then the other reason we do it is, did you know God says he's going to give you a new name on a white rock one day? So we said, well, if God's going to give us a new name one day, we can give ourselves a new name now.
Yeah.
So we did it because it's a marker of who we were and now who we...
just happened to pick when I was born.
Whatever. But it'll help you. If you turn from the old man, you'll want to get rid of everything that represents the old man. And I'm telling you, this culture and the churches are set to destroy you. There's only two kingdoms. The kingdom of God in Christ... and the kingdom of Satan. Which one are you in? I can promise you that church is not fully in the kingdom of God. They are partaking in the kingdom of Satan. You got to repent and come out and be in the kingdom of God.
Right.
Email me.
Yeah.
Email me. We'll study. Thousands of resources. Yeah, it's right here. My website, don'tperish.com. There's my email. Thousands of resources for free, street preaching videos, audios, teachings, everything. We get together, we study the Bible verse by verse. We're going through the book of Revelation right now, verse by verse. And if you are a brother, you could be part of it with us.
All right, well, plenty of time outside of work, so I'll...
Take a break from church tomorrow. Get in the Word. Email me, and I'll do a testing of your church if you want to show you all this. Okay?
Yeah, I'll email you, so you have my email. And then
You do that. Sounds good.
I like it.
All right, we love you.
But, sir, if you're a part of the world, you're an enemy of God.
You guys are doing a good job.
We are.
Yes, you are.